Are you bored at work? Listen to the Superhuman Channel daily. Catch older episodes of Superhuman Radio, plus listen to Superhuman Radio live every day at 1 p.m. Pacific.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. This is a really important episode, okay? During the first hour, we're going to be discussing a variety of issues related to autism with Dr. Jared Scowron, the naturopath that you all know and love from the show. Later in the show, we're going to have a scientist named Duk-Chu Lee, whose group just published a study that shows something we've been talking about on this show forever and ever. Number one, that physical fitness is more important than body weight as an indicator of risk of death. And this folds into the notion that physicians must once and for all abandon the body mass index approach to telling their patients what is a healthy weight. I am waiting for the day that the medical orthodoxy begins to admit that they're ignoring the importance of muscle and what muscle does to prevent age-related and chronic disease has been a big mistake on their part. It's coming. This study is yet another stepping stone in that direction. I want to first of all also give a shout-out to my good friend Lou Uridel, who recently won his class in his bodybuilding competition. I'm going to mention the his blog later in the show, but I don't have the information in front of me. I will say it again. But we're going to get started with this interview right away. Dr. Jared Scowron has been on this show numerous times. The fans keep asking for him to come back. He is the author of 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child, and we're going to be discussing a variety of topics related to autism. How you doing, Dr. Scowron?
Oh, good, Carl. It's great to be back on the show again.
Yeah, pleasure having you. You know, first of all, autism is on the rise. There's no doubt about that, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's an epidemic. And, you know, it's gone from 1 in 10,000 or 1 in 20,000 to, you know, I see that pediatric study that came out a couple years ago. It says it's 1 in 58 boys. So we're looking at 2% of the male population has got autism, and the numbers are only increasing.
Now, is autism so obviously it's picking a gender, it looks like here.
It really is. Boys are preferred to get autism or autism spectrum diseases about 4 to 1, and it has to do with how testosterone potentiates heavy metal toxicity, especially mercury toxicity in the body, where estrogen helps get rid of it.
And is that in the mother while the baby is being produced?
It's in both. And the research shows the more testosterone the mother has, the more increased risk for their children to get autism, whether they're boys
Holy
or girls.
Mackerel.
And then the girls who do have autism spectrum have higher levels of testosterone than their neurotypical peers.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, because what that's basically saying, because women who have higher testosterone tend to produce boys because of the higher conversion by 5-alpha reductase, creating an environment of DHT that causes the genitalia to change from female to male.
Right, right.
So basically what you're saying is the environment that creates male babies also creates fertile soil for the development of autism.
It does, but only because you've got these toxins that are coming in. If the toxins aren't there, then in my opinion, you don't really have a chance for autism spectrum.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to get deeper into this. Now, we talk about toxins, but we're talking about a variety of pollutants, if you will, that are both chemical in nature. But there seems to be some research out of Scandinavia that was published a few years ago a couple good studies that seem to link the lack of development of mirror neurons, which were the way it was explained to me. Mirror neurons are these neurons that allow a baby to look up at its mother. The mother is smiling and cooing, and the baby smiles back, and the baby knows that what it feels, through proprioception, I guess, in its face is the same thing that it sees on the mother, and that's why they're called mirror neurons. And these neurons are evident during the early stages of life, but then they kind of go away. And some of this research shows that exposure to the radio frequencies emitted by cordless phones and cellular telephones seem to disrupt the biogenesis of these mirror neurons in the fetus. Are you familiar with that at all?
I am. And, we get these two different groups of kids who are on autism spectrum disorders that I see in my practice. And the first group are the kids who are on the spectrum from birth. And I really think the mirror neurons apply to these kind of kids. But then you've got the other subset of kids who are normal developing until about 12 or 18 months,
yes.
And then bam, they
yes.
get that shot, and they're totally different.
And I'm completely,
my question is, what's happening with the mirror neurons when those kids changed in a week?
Well, but see, here's the thing, and you so eloquently keep referring to it as autism spectrum disorder, correct?
Yeah, and I use that term because we're not only talking about autism, but we're also talking about PDD. We're also talking about Asperger's, and I don't want to leave anybody out because
right.
what we're going to talk about today applies to all of them.
Well, and this is also very important. There are people out there who have Parkinson's disease.
Yeah.
And there are people out there who have the symptoms of Parkinson's disease, and they don't classify them as having Parkinson's disease. They refer to them as having Parkinsonism there's a couple terms out there. But the idea is, what we're saying here is, these symptoms are classified, as being present in a child who has autism. Now, was the child born with autism, or did they develop it after birth? This is a critical question, because as you point out, and I'm in complete agreement with you, there are children who are exposed to things in the womb who are born. In the earliest stages, you can see that this child is something wrong. They don't react the same. They don't make eye contact. They have autism from birth. But there are children who develop autism as late as 8 years old.
Sure.
And this is clearly not the same thing. This set of symptoms that precipitates is like you said, autism spectrum disorder. But these children, in my humble opinion, have the greatest possibility of reversal.
Right.
If it's caught early.
Right.
Okay. But the problem is that the medical orthodoxy doesn't believe that this is reversible. So they try to manage the symptoms instead of reversing the disorder. Am I correct about that?
And unfortunately, right now, conventional medicine has nothing. I mean, the only approved meds for autism is risperidol, which is only to prevent violence by being an antagonist to your dopamine receptors, as well as a blood pressure medication. But again, all it does is stop violence. They have nothing. And exactly what you said, I want to repeat, cases can be reversed if you treat it early enough. And that's what we see in my office every day.
Now, when we say if you treat it early enough, is it because there is collateral damage done to the body the longer that the disease is allowed to be unchecked?
It's a combination of that and as well as the cessation of neuroplasticity. You know, we can learn early in life because our brain is so plastic and mobile and movable. But once you hit those teenage years, the brain stops being able to learn and stops being able to change. And in my opinion, it's that puberty level where our treatments are more and more difficult.
Now, interestingly enough, you entered the term puberty. Quite often, neurological disorders occur in children when the introduction of sex hormones occurs. You have children who become schizophrenic, usually around the time of puberty. You have children who develop a variety of disorders, personality disorders, at the time of puberty. So, since there seems to be a linkage between testosterone's ability to allow male boys to not have the same detoxification pathways that female babies have. Is this also true with the older adult boys? Do they develop autism symptoms because of the lack of these detoxification pathway efficiencies?
I think so. You know, and a lot of our treatment, or a lot of the common treatments, are all around methylation. You know, the methyl B12 shots that they give, or the dimethylglycine, the DMG supplement that they take. It's all about detoxing. And you're right. You know, I'm not sure exactly what's happening with the production of hormones or the metabolism of hormones, or perhaps our hormone receptors in our brain. But there's a link between these two.
Okay. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to start delving deeper into what can be done for children and what the traditional symptoms are. We're talking with Dr. Jared Skowron. He is the author of 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child, practicing naturopathic medicine, working with children, and very, very heavily involved and understanding about the disorder autism and what can be done about it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee, combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com, be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list, and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age Force Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I do want to give a shout out to my good friend Lou Uradell, who went to the Grand Cayman Islands to compete and won his class, overall novice, and just missed the Open class. He took second there against the guy who turned down his pro card. So obviously Lou looked great. You can see pictures of Lou Uriadel by going to his blog. Those of you who are on the forums know him as The Big Sexy. His blog is The Big Sexy, ALRblog.com. Check him out. We're talking this hour with Dr. Jared Skowron. We're talking about autism. You know, first of all, when we talk about autism spectrum disorder, what are the symptoms that are most prevalent that parents have to cope with a child that's suffering from this?
You know, there's a lot of different symptoms, and it's called spectrum disorder because there are so many different ones that can vary in each child. What I like to do is review the four S. S is in symptoms. The first one is sleep, and a lot of kids have problems sleeping. The other issue is delayed speech, and really it's a neurological developmental delay that for most kids affects their ability to talk. The third S is their social ability, and a lot of kids are loners and don't want to be around anybody else or don't know how to accurately socialize with their peers or with adults. And the fourth S is sensitivities or sensories, because there's a lot of sensory issues. Kids don't like to be touched, or they don't like light touch, like the tags in their shirt or socks on their feet. They also don't like certain tastes or textures. So their desires for certain foods is extremely limited. So I usually tell parents to go over those four S symptoms.
Okay. With that being said, there is another there seems to be another common symptom that children who develop the later onset version of autism seem to share, and this is digestive issues, is it not?
Oh gosh, it's huge. And what I really see is that there's inflammation that is at the cornerstone of what's going on in autism. When you have inflammation in the body, other parts of the body shut down, and the digestive system is one of those secondary parts of the body that's shutting down, but it's causing some huge symptoms. It's causing diarrhea. It's causing constipation in most kids. Then you start to get poor digestion, poor absorption. You start to get candida infections. I see kids with parasites. I see kids with C. diff. So it's there, and it makes the problem worse, but I really see it as a secondary issue.
Really? And see, and this is where I start to think that the gut is actually part of the problem. And to come back full circle with the discussion we had earlier on with the detoxification pathways not being equipped, or being overwhelmed. There seems to be, and I blogged about this not too long ago, there was just recent research that showed that the children with late onset autism have a genetic defect in their digestion. And I'll pull this up, before the next break. And, there was a doctor in the UK who wrote a book whose son was born with autism, and she rid him of 80% of his symptoms by identifying a particular gut flora called L. plantarum that she started to supplement in very, very large doses. I know two autistic children, and I know that they crave carbohydrates, and they also have wild mood swings, which leads me to believe they have periods of hyper and hypoglycemia. I have a suspicion that while the problems in the gut are secondary, they end up fueling the fire to the balance of the symptoms, because we have undigested whatever you want to call them, you know, debris floating around in the body that may actually precipitate the body's inability to detoxify itself. What would you say to that?
Well, you're right. And even though I classify the GI as not the core of what's causing autism, it makes the symptoms worse. It makes the sensory symptoms worse.
Yes.
It makes them unable to sleep. It throws them into temper tantrums. And you're right. It's a combination of the wrong flora being in there, as well as an inability to digest. And if you can't digest foods, then these big chemicals are just floating around.
Yes.
In fact, one of the tests that we look at is we look for glutamorphin and casomorphin in the urine, because if they aren't digesting their gluten and casein, it actually activates the opiate receptors in their brain and it dopes them.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel, that's amazing. I mean, I didn't realize it was to that extreme. Okay, so with that being said, when a parent comes to you and they have a child that's been identified as developing this later in age, what are some of the first steps that you take with this child? Let's talk about the testing, like you just pointed out.
The testing is really huge. And number one, we start testing the gut. Because if you don't treat the gut first, you can't do anything else. I mean, you can't put any supplements in their mouth and expect them to be absorbed. So we do full PCR DNA analysis of their stool to find out what kind of microbes are in there. Is there C. diff? Are there parasites? Is there candida? We take a look at their digestion with the stool test. We start to play around with their diet. And we do antibody testing for foods, for gluten and casein. Some of my parents will do the GAP diet. So it all starts around the GI.
We just did a show yesterday on gut health, and what's coming forth is an understanding that the traditional doses of probiotics that we have been taking, 1 billion, 5 billion, this is meaningless when we're talking about maintaining or returning gut health. The notion of taking a 5 billion coliform, a CFU, capsule once a day is tantamount to dropping one seed in the rainforest and imagining that we're having some sort of effect on reforestation. And now the doses that naturopaths and clinicians in the know are using are 400 billion and up, as high as 900 billion CFUs a day, and seeing dramatic results. Could it be something as simple as that for a parent who's listening to this show and saying, you know, I don't know what to do. I would do anything. Granted, this is not the silver bullet. It's not going to make everything go away. But if we could get the digestive system functioning properly, the mood swings drop, the sleep comes back in, the choices of foods changes. Could a parent just turn to an aggressive protocol like that, using maybe an 8 or 14 probiotic blend of non-competing, non-overlapping probiotics?
Yeah, that'd be a great place to start. Yeah, you know, and when we do our testing, it takes about 4 weeks to get all of our stool testing and neurotransmitter testing and toxicity and heavy metal testing back. So using those kind of high-dose probiotics as a trial, I think, is fantastic. And, you know, when you take a look at the small intestine and the large intestine, if you stretched it out with all the turns and twists and villi, it's going to be the surface area of a tennis court. Right. And if you take one capsule of probiotic and throw it on a tennis court, you said it exactly right. It's like one seed in the rainforest. How are you going to do anything?
Right. Right. Yeah, here's the stuff. Children with autism and gastrointestinal symptoms have altered digestive genes. And that's interesting to me because, the whole issue with the digestion comes about. What other modalities do you look to besides addressing the GI tract? Do you try to emphasize the detoxification pathways?
It definitely. You know, we'll screen for different toxins. We'll screen for mercury. I see lots of arsenic in the kids. We'll also run porphyrin testing to look for any kind of toxic damage. And for the kids who are toxic, that's really the treatment that I see that keeps permanent change. You detox them, they make their improvements, they mainstream in school, and they don't regress back, which I see when we use a lot of the vitamin therapies. If you stop it, there's a lot of regression. So detox is huge in there as well. And I just put up a research study on your Facebook page. So if your people are online and want a live Facebook, it has to do with the mercury preservative in vaccines and how it changes the frontal cortex and how that can be prevented with DHEA.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you mean supplemental DHEA?
Yeah.
So, okay. So now there was a woman that I met recently, and she has two boys, and one has autism and one doesn't. And so, you know, it's a very touchy subject. These parents spend their lives trying to find answers. Quite often they're being told by the medical orthodoxy, this is the way it is, get used to it. And so I didn't want to challenge her beliefs. I don't want to try to minimize her concern or the length that she's gone to trying to find answers. But I just happened to mention to her, you know, have you read anything about vaccines? And she, oh, no, it can't be the vaccines. She says, because I have two boys. They both receive all the same vaccines. One has autism, and it developed late in life. He didn't have it at birth. He developed it at about 4 or 5 years old. And the other one didn't develop it. What would you say to a parent like that who says, look, I have two kids raised in the same environment, did all the same things, got all the same vaccines, yet one has autism and one doesn't? It clearly can't be the vaccine.
Well, if, first off, are they twins?
No, or of course not.
What, you know, the vaccines have, the vaccines have changed. And every year there's different ingredients in the vaccines. And I've got a list that I'll put up on the face, your Facebook page of vaccine ingredients. And the other part is they've got different genes. If you got two different kids, there's two different genes. So there's definitely different things you can see. But I'll tell you, in my office, parents will come in the day after they get a shot, usually the MMR, and in tears because their child stopped talking and stopped looking at them.
What is MMR?
The measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine.
Wow. Is there thimerosal in those vaccines?
There are not. However, let me take a look. And I just posted this up on your website. Depending on the brand of MMR you get, it will have glutamate, which I know you don't like.
It's a neurotoxin.
It will have monosodium glutamate. It will have antibiotics. And one of them has chick embryos.
Okay. Now, a lot of people out there are going to go, look, I mean, there's a very, very small percentage of people who have problems from vaccines. I mean, I talked about the diphtheria vaccine. 80 or 90% of all SIDS death occur within 2 weeks of receiving the diphtheria vaccine. There is evidence that SIDS is related to an altered serotonin response in the brain that keeps the natural alarm system from waking up the baby when they're smothering themselves. It could be that the diphtheria vaccine causes children to have this altered, in an idiopathic way for a short period of time, and then it goes away, this altered serotonin response. There seems to be linkage to that. Yet, you'll have people out there who say, look, what am I going to do? Aren't I being reckless by not getting my children vaccinated for measles, mumps, and rubella? What do you say to them?
You know, a lot of parents ask me those questions, and what I talk to them about is what consequences do you have? You know, if you're going to do MMR, you know, if you don't want your child to get measles, mumps, and rubella, is the vaccine the best option? Or can we boost your immune system and treat if you do get a case of measles, mumps, and rubella? And a lot of these viruses and bacteria are extremely rare nowadays. I mean, how many cases of these do you see?
Yeah, I know.
I also talk to parents about special ordering preservative-free vaccines. If they really insist on vaccines, and I don't like vaccines at all, but if they really insist on them, then you need to special order the preservative-free ones.
So that's where the problem is, the preservatives, Jared?
It's both. It's both the organisms and the preservatives, and it's us loading up on all these vaccines all at once. I mean, kids go into the pediatrician's office nowadays, and they get 8 shots.
Yeah.
I mean, how are those little bodies are not ready to get 8 viruses and bacteria all at once?
Isn't that amazing? Oh, my God. And you know what? It gets scarier because vaccines are the new financial cash cow for the pharmaceutical industry. It's clear that they're putting all their money on vaccines. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Dr. Jared Scarron about autism and autism spectrum disorder. He is the author of 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child. You can get it at Amazon.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn
learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USLWellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USLWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Come January, Age Force has two new exciting, very, very exciting transdermal patches coming out that I am proud to say I am behind the development of. One of them is a transdermal hydroxy B12 patch. Not methylcobalamin, not cyanocobalamin, but hydroxycobalamin, which has been shown to be the naturally occurring form of B12 found in liver. The other one is going to be a fat loss product we'll talk more about in January. Very, very exciting. We're talking with Dr. Jared Scarron about autism. We were talking about vaccines when we went into the break. And this is really a big issue, vaccines. I mean, you posted a couple really good things on Facebook just now. Tell me about the article, the Lancet's 2 days to bury bad news that was published in the BMJ is the British Medical Journal, correct?
Exactly, in a very well-respected journal. And,
yes.
You know, one of the biggest things that happened in research with the MMR vaccine was Andrew Wakefield. And I've never seen a bigger witch hunt in science. I mean, how many scientific studies are published every day? How many of them really make worldwide news that are ousting a scientist and telling them he's wrong? And it's really all the money. Like you said, it's the money behind this. The vaccine companies don't want to lose their money. So anybody who says vaccines are bad, they're going to be trounced upon.
Yes.
And, you know, they really wanted to bury this study, so nothing came out.
Now, what was the study? It was on the mumps,
MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, which kids usually get at 12 months or 18 months, is the cause of autism.
And what was the basis for this statement? Did they have a fair amount of research behind it, or was there a small group, or where did they get the information from?
I read this study last year when it came out, so I don't remember exactly what they did or how they were looking at the different kids. I think it was a pretty small group of kids. And I believe they were bringing up how these kids were allocated for the study. He definitely put that out there, and there've been so many different studies talking about MMR and its association anyway. And the other thing I just posted up there is a new study that I'm surprised hasn't gotten any press, is the association with the hepatitis B vaccine, which kids get about an hour after they're born, and how that increases your risk of autism by threefold.
Really?
Yeah.
Once again, what the devil is in the details here? What is it about the vaccine? Is it the preservatives? Is it the adjuvant? Or is it the actual attenuated virus that's in there that's causing this problem?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we know.
So would you say unabashedly that the linkage between vaccinations and autism seems to be not necessarily 100% spot on, but with each of these studies, there becomes more and more evidence that while it may not be the only cause, it's definitely one of the causes.
I really think it's a trigger. And I say that because of the hundreds of people who have come into my office and say, my kid was fine, and now he's not. And the only thing that we did was go to the doctor's office and get a shot. What else could it be? What else could change a child's life that quickly?
Well, how long does it go away in those children? Does it pass after a few months, or is that it? The trigger kicks in and they're stuck like that for forever.
They're stuck like that unless they do all the interventions.
And when they do the interventions, the parents can see the child being rescued from the jaws of this.
We do. We reverse autism. We stop the symptoms. The kids mainstream in school. And our ultimate goal is for the kids to live normal lives,
right?
Grow up, go to college, have a job, get married, have a family. I mean, that's our ultimate goal.
You know, I've talked about on recent Casual Friday episodes, when you look at the major pharmaceutical companies, Merck, all of them, they have huge dollars invested. Most of them have 6, 8, 12 different vaccines, and they're developing vaccines at a very, very rapid rate. And vaccines, in my humble opinion, are the future of the pharmaceutical agenda, because more and more people are starting to realize that the side effects from pharmaceutical drugs designed to mask and manage symptoms as opposed to curing diseases are far worse than the diseases themselves. More and more people are telling their doctors no. More and more people are non-compliant with pharmaceutical prescriptions. And the pharmaceutical industry realizes the cat is out of the bag. We're losing traction with Lipitor, statin drugs, you name it. They're losing traction with these drugs. The beauty of the vaccine, like insurance, is everybody needs it, and it's designed to work if nothing happens, as opposed to waiting for someone to develop diabetes, develop heart disease, develop this, develop that, and then prescribing. Everybody needs a vaccine. So the vaccine is the future of the pharmaceutical agenda, and appropriately so. The pharmaceutical industry has joined in with a pact with the American government. The American government actually has an arm of the American government that is designed to indemnify pharmaceutical companies from any kind of backlash from vaccines. If you have a vaccine, if you're one of these children that Dr. Scowron is talking about, you're, and the parent goes, look, it's unequivocal, this developed because of this vaccine, you don't sue the pharmaceutical company. They push you over to this organization that's actually a government arm that will fight with you and then finally give up money to you as long as they put you on a gag order. Well, you can't talk about this, but we'll settle with you. So actual tax dollars that we pay are going to settle lawsuits on vaccines. So basically what you have is pharmaceutical companies are not only loving vaccine sales because they can rush them to market. Very, very little testing needs to be done. The whole world needs them, okay? But more importantly, it's privatized profits, socialized losses. We pay for the losses. They keep the profits. This, in my opinion, in the next decade is going to come to light as the single greatest threat by the pharmaceutical agenda in conjunction with corrupt politicians to ever face American people. Because remember, they want to force us to give our kids Gardasil. They want to force us to give our kids all sorts of vaccines. We're already getting them shoved down our throat. How many people even know to ask in the birthing room, hey, I don't want that vaccine. People don't even know. They stick the baby and they're done. They don't ask. It's really terrible, Dr. Scowron.
It is. I'm glad you're passionate about it because I am too. And, you know, everything you said is 100% correct. And I want your listeners to know, February of this year, the Supreme Court said that you cannot sue a pharmaceutical company for a vaccine problem. It doesn't have to be autism. It can be anything. You can't. It's now illegal to sue them. And you know, everybody heard about Rick Perry in Texas making Gardasil necessary for every girl and every boy. And if we're doing something to prevent cervical cancer, why are we doing it for the boys? And that vaccine only had 3 months of safety studies. And you know, I've mentioned this on your show before. I see cervical cancer in girls who are 18 because of the Gardasil vaccine. And it's the sleeping together with the pharmaceutical companies and the politicians is extreme, like you said.
You know what's really the funniest part of all, and this is so typical of the hypocrisy within the government. When the government released this new edict, you know how they said mammograms every so often, and then now they're saying pap smears. Women shouldn't get pap smears this frequently because it's a waste of money. This testing is a waste. You remember when they came out with that a few months ago?
Sure.
Okay. Well, one of the things that was raised was instead of, pap smear, how about the human papilloma virus test on women to identify increased risk of cervical cancer? And the government's own brain trust, this group of experts that are helping the government figure out how to set up these edicts for the medical industry, they said no. Because it's inconclusive. Women have HPV throughout their lives from time to time and don't get cervical cancer. In fact, it's not a reliable test. So basically what they said was, while on one hand they're telling people, hey, you should get the HPV vaccine. On the other hand, they said, when we have to talk about HPV, nah, it's inconclusive. We're not going to use that as a benchmark for the risk of cervical cancer. Of course, it's not. Women could have an HPV a virus a dozen times throughout their lives, never even know it. It just goes away. So it doesn't always become, and on top of that, the vaccine only addresses two or three of what? 27 different forms of HPV?
I mean, there's so many different strains.
The whole thing is a joke. All right, we've gotten off track here, but we've gotten off track because vaccines seem to have some linkage to autism. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the notion that maybe if someone is having their child vaccinated, is there anything that we can do in the way of like a prophylactic approach? We're talking with Dr. Jared Scowron. He is the author of 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.com. Or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high voltage rock. In your name we pray. Amen. I wanna
rock! Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Jared Skowron about autism, what can be done about it, what can be done hopefully to even avoid your male babies, which apparently are more susceptible than the girls, from even developing autism spectrum disorder. Later in the show, Dr. Duck Chu Lee is going to come on and talk about a study that his group has just published proving what we've been saying here forever and ever, that body weight means nothing. How much of you is muscle and how much of you is fat is what means everything. And that physically fit people, regardless of their weight, can avoid death at a higher rate than those who are even lean or skinny fat, but not physically fit. So, okay. Dr. Skowron, is there something that parents can do? Let's say there's a parent out there that goes, look, I am not ready to just abandon vaccines, but you've got my attention, okay? Is there something that a parent can do to help prepare their child for these vaccines? Perhaps increasing vitamin B intake or trimethylglycine or any of these things days before the vaccine is going to be administered and days after, to try to increase the efficiency of the detoxification pathways so they don't get overwhelmed and the child can cope. Any thoughts on that? Oh, I'm so sorry, yeah, Dr. Skowron. Please repeat yourself. I'm sorry. I had your mic still muted. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. If you do choose to give vaccinations, again, ask your pediatrician to special order the preservative-free vaccines. And they do cost a little bit extra, but again, they're worth the prevention of this kind of neurological
And it's
cost.
It's worthwhile saying that your insurance company will not cover that.
And they'll cover a portion of it.
Oh, good. Okay.
But they won't cover all of it.
Okay.
Of course, that depends on your insurance company. But what you can do is prepare the body to get infected, because that's what you do. You're sticking with bacteria or viruses, even if it's partially killed. So if you get, if you're getting a virus, you want to treat the body with vitamin A. And if you're treating with bacteria, you want to boost the immune system with things like garlic or echinacea. But you also want to help calm down the immune system, because if the immune system gets too overacted, you start to get this autoimmune attack on the brain cells that we see in kids with the spectrum. So I'll give fish oil and probiotics, and that'll help mediate a hyperimmune response.
What about GABA? GABA is a neurotransmitter that actually has a calming effect. It interacts with the what's the term I'm thinking of? It acts like a benzodiazepine is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. GABA is probably the number one supplement that I have in my office for kids on the spectrum, because it is anti-anxiety and it calms down the nervous system. Not only does it calm down the nervous system in the brain, but it also calms down the nervous system in the periphery. So it helps calm down the sensory issues. It helps calm down the brain. It gets them asleep. It stops their anxiety. It's fantastic. Every kid. And again, if a parent does not see a damn doctor right now, go out and get some GABA. You'll see the effect immediately.
Okay. Are we talking about taking like 500 milligrams two or three times a day? Are we talking about larger doses than that, or is it something that they just have to feel out?
Yeah, you have to feel it out, but I start off the kids with 1,500 milligrams twice a day.
Okay. What about parents? And I have a close personal friend whose son has autism, and they struggle with him. They've tried actually that one time when they changed his meds, he became very, very difficult to deal with. You know, it's a very, very tough situation for parents. And naturally, like any parent, all they want is their child to be able to have a normal life and be autonomous. And this is very difficult for parents who have autistic children. And when I talk to this person, I try to imply, once again, you have to be very cautious, because I don't know what it's like to have a child like that. So I can't just say, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. But when you try to imply, you know, diet, supplementation, so on, they dismiss you. They say, you know what, we've tried all that. And sometimes I suspect that they really haven't. There's parents out there who may listen to this show and they're thinking to themselves, look, this is a disorder, and surely it cannot be affected by over-the-counter supplements and nutritional protocols. Otherwise, my doctor would be doing that right now. What would you say to one of those parents?
You have to try it. And, you know, the standard doctors, conventional doctors and pediatricians who aren't specially trained just don't know. I mean, this is so new that they have no idea about how you can affect your child and help your child. I talked to if you're familiar with the Autism Treatment Centers of America and the Sunrise Program, it's all about this child who was had autism, and their parents worked with him with different behavioral techniques. He eventually overcame autism, went to Brown, and now he runs this program. And he uses a phrase with every new parent. He says, there's no false hope, there's only false pessimism. And I really want to tell all parents, do everything you can. Because again, we've got that window that closes with puberty. Do as much as you can as young as they are.
Okay. And with that being said, what about the parents who are hearing this message for the first time and their child is past puberty? Their child is 17, 18 years old now. And is it really too late for them?
You know, we'll do everything we can. And autism is so new, and the epidemic is so new, that nobody knows exactly for sure what and when, but we're all trying to do everything we can. So again, it's worth trying. Even if you make minor gains, it's worth trying.
If a parent attempts this type of a protocol, nutritional protocol, supplementation, and addresses these issues, how long do they have to wait to be able to say, well, it's not working for my child?
I would give something at least 6 months. And again, there's so many different things that you can do that you need to give everything a good try. You know, I see people who do gluten-free, casein-free, and they'll do it for a week or two. Well, that's not enough. You need to do it for a month or two to really see something.
Because of the toxic load that the child has needs to be drawn off, so to speak. Because basically, if you're adding toxins on a day-to-day basis, you're just topping off what the body is holding. If you stop adding those toxins, you now have to wait for the body to deplete itself of what it's been holding.
Exactly. And there's so many different parts. You know, we look at the brain chemistry, we look at the GI, we look at the probiotics, we look at the candida, we look at the methylation, we look at everything in the mercury. And, you know, what if you treated one part, but you ignored the other parts? So even if you have done something, there's so many new things and so many other parts that you need to address.
Yeah, it's really sad. Is there anything being done like this study that you talked about that the BMJ published, that the Lancet hid? Is there anything being done to make parents more aware about what seems to be the cause of autism?
You know, there are a few organizations, you know, thing people like Autism Speaks, and there are a lot of other local organizations. But it's, you know, conventionally, no. Conventionally, nobody wants to look at anything. You know, the conventional pediatrician is just going to keep pumping you full of vaccines. They're going to tell you there's nothing to do. But I'm really scared, because what's going to happen if we've got 2% of boys on the autism spectrum? What's going to happen in 20 years when their parents can't take care of them? Where are they going to go?
Oh, forget about it. I mean,
that scares me.
Yeah. You know what really is even scarier to me? I imagine some politician up at Capitol Hill listening to, some representative, a lobbyist from Big Pharma and saying, look, you know what? It's a very small percentage of kids who get ill. We have to think of the greater good. This term, the greater good, has been something that I've been pondering in the past few years. This notion of the greater good, is something that people say when they want to ignore, the real dangers in any situation. So they say, well, you know, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. In other words, some people are going to have to get sick. I'll tell you when your attitude about the greater good will change. When you or one of your children fall into the category as one of the kids who has to sacrifice for the greater good, then all of a sudden it's not such a good deal. This notion of the greater good, which politicians thrive. This is how they justify the crappy decisions that they make. Well, we're doing it for the country. Sure, some people get locked up unnecessarily, but these laws are designed to protect the masses. And, you know, some people are just going to fall through the cracks. But when one of them or their family members fall through the cracks, then all of a sudden the notion of the greater good goes out the window. Anybody who practices the greater good reasoning should never be in public office. In fact, I'm a proponent of the lowest common denominator reasoning. I say apply laws. I say apply tactics. I say apply logic that speaks to the lowest common denominator, because then everybody up north of that is protected. If you're protecting the person, the one or two people that normally would be hurt in a situation, then everybody north of them is automatically protected. So anybody out there who's justifying, well, you know, you're right. Sure, some kids get sick, but the greater good, shame on you. The greater good logic is one without conscience whatsoever. Hey, Dr. Scarron, I want to thank you for being on the show today to talk about autism.
Oh, thanks, Carl. I think this was a great show, and you know, we brought up a lot of topics that people really need to be concerned about and really think. You know, when you hear a message from somebody, what's their motivation for saying it? What's the motivation of the pharmaceutical companies telling you need this vaccine, or the politicians? And we really need to start to think for ourselves.
I agree. Get Dr. Scarron's book for your child today, 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child, at Amazon.com. Thanks a lot, Jared.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Duck Chu Lee on, talking about a research study that I love, something that I've been saying forever here on the show. And that is, if you are fit and strong, you live long. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Arabian Prince, back with a style that's hype. Not slow and low, it's the fast type.
Getting dumb, can you hear the drum?
Yo, Dre, why don't you pump it up some?
I'm pumping it up, so now what's up?
Yo, yellow boy, add a little cut.
What the hell, you think we need some bells?
Yeah, homeboy, might as well.
There it is, so now what's next?
A little so find me up.
Hold it, wait a minute, you need something else in it.
This is what I want you to do. Feel the groove, bust the move.
Yo, yo, I'm tired, what about you?
Man, this is something to dance to.
That
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Finally, a time-released energy tablet. No more shots or drinks filled with sugar. Atomic Tabs are here. Atomic Tabs are the only time-released high-energy chewable tablet available anywhere. Atomic Tabs have as much caffeine as a cup of coffee combined with energy and focus-enhancing ingredients that will give you a long-lasting wave of energy with no jitters or crash. Energy comes on in 5 minutes after you chew it. Go to AtomicTabs.com, be one of the first 10,000 people to sign the mailing list, and get a free sample of Atomic Tabs. Go to AtomicTabs.com today. Chew your energy.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I really love this next interview. It's something we've been talking about on this show forever and ever. The motto of this show is live stronger, live longer. I've done shows over the past years that show that the strongest individuals live the longest. My next guest today is Dr. D.C. Lee. How you doing, Dr. Lee?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. I love your study.
Now, Thank you.
Before we get started, tell my audience the university that you're affiliated with.
I'm in the University of South Carolina, Department of Exercise Science, under the School of Public Health.
Okay. And this study that I saw actually appeared, I want to say, in the American Heart Association's manual, did it not? Was that where it was? Yeah, American Heart.
That's the name of journal.
Yes, good. Okay. All right, so with that being said, this study discovered that physical fitness trumps body weight in reducing death risks. First of all, explain the design of the study. How many participants were in the study and over what period of time?
Okay, there were about 14,000 middle-aged men had at least two very comprehensive medical examinations with about 6 years interval between the two examinations.
Okay. So this would be considered a longitudinal study, I mean, over 6 years, right?
Right. And then we calculated, you know, changes in cardiovascular fitness and body mass index as difference between the two measures, between the two examinations. Then we followed them for mortality over 11 years after their second medical examinations.
Okay, what were the categories of risk for death, obviously? What were you looking at in this group? In other words, heart disease?
We categorized them into three groups.
Okay.
First, you know, men who lost their fitness, or men who maintained their fitness, and men who improved their fitness. And then there's the other three groups. Men who lost their weight simply, we use the body mass index, but it's very highly correlated with body weight because their height is not changed a lot.
I hate BMI. I've talked about BMI on the show for 6 years. It's first of all, BMI for men and women is the same. Right there, that's wrong. Right there. They take a woman who's 5'9 and a man who's 5'9, they say they should have the same BMI. According to BMI, I'm overweight. I think I'm a 28 or 29. But
right.
I'm only about maybe 10 or 11% body fat.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't take any account for muscle, for lean body mass at all in BMI.
I think, you know, BMI is the measure that doctor or, you know, any, you know, the medical institute use as a definition of obesity or overweight, even though it's not very accurate. As you said, you know, it doesn't count muscle mass. But to measure muscle mass, well, you know, body composition is more complicated. It's more, you know, expensive and
well, okay. I look, it's complicated to do it with the highest degree of accuracy because you have to use a DEXA scan or even you have to dunk someone in water. No one wants
right.
to hold their breath and then let. Okay, but the caliper method has been
right.
used forever. Very successfully. And okay, so it's not exactly accurate. It's 80% accurate. That's still better than ignoring how much muscle a person carries versus how much adipose tissue, because there's a great difference between the biological function of a person who's 220 pounds and 35% body fat and a person who's 220 pounds and 220 pounds and 14% body fat. Huge, huge difference. So, I agree with you, but I think doctors need to start using calipers and figuring this out. And I hope that in the next decade, because of the kind of research that your group is doing and other groups like you,
mm-hmm.
Doctors are going to start going, wow, you know what? Muscle is more important than we thought it was in staving off chronic disease. So I'm very excited about your study. I really, really am. Okay. So when you looked at these three groups,
mm-hmm.
You looked at them for cardiovascular risk. Did you look at them for insulin resistance and markers of insulin resistance? What other things did you look at?
The main exposure is the cardiovascular fitness and body mass index. But we also used percent body fat measured by skin fold, seven-site skin fold, as you just explained.
Right.
So that's our main exposure in this study.
Okay. So what started to elucidate in the study? What did you start to find that made you feel that fitness was more important than body weight in the death risks of the participants?
So compared to men who lost fitness, maintained or improved fitness, they had a lower risk of death from all causes and then cardiovascular disease. After controlling for their body weight change and other confounders.
Like what other confounders did you associate here?
Like age, well, their changes in medical conditions, changes in behavior such as smoking.
That's what I was going to say. Did you observe any behaviors that are considered risk factors like cigarette smoking, but yet were the risk factors mitigated by their increased fitness?
Right, but smoking wasn't our main exposure. We just controlled for that.
Okay.
You know, in the association between fitness and mortality risk.
Okay.
But we found you know, we look at who lost their fitness, and then we found, you know, people who started smoking, well, became sedentary, well, developed chronic diseases such as hypertension or diabetes. Those men lost their fitness level. So, you know, that's kind of the determinants of fitness.
Right.
Of course, there's other determinants like age, sex, and, you know, genetic components. But that those, you know, three behaviors are related to fitness.
What? How did you assess fitness, Dr. Lee? Did you just do a traditional stress test on a treadmill, or how did you do it?
Yes, that's right. The fitness was measured by maximal treadmill test. So, you know, every minute, the intensity of treadmill exercise, it goes up, like either speed or angles. So the longer you stay there means, you know, they have the higher fitness level. So that's a maximal treadmill exercise test.
Okay, we have to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I've got lots of great questions for Dr. D.C. Lee. We're talking about his recent research that shows that fitness may actually protect you. Being strong, being fit is a good thing. You hear that, everybody? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan, to mechanical growth factor or PT-141, or hard to find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential
potential side effects. Estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more. You'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. D.C. Lee about his research that shows that physical fitness may actually improve your life by making you live longer. Okay. So what we've determined here so far is that the group that either maintained or improved their physical fitness had a lower risk of death. Now, you looked at basically cardiovascular fitness, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Was there any indication, or because I see in the research that there were individuals whose fitness declined and their BMI did not go up. So one would think it would be intuitive to think, well, if someone's fitness declined, they got fatter. There are individuals whose fitness declined, but their BMI did not go up, yet they still had increased risk of death, which correlates directly to the fitness quotient. Was there any observation in the linkage between muscle mass, whether it was lost, gained, or stayed the same, and these risk factors?
I don't think, there's any study looking at the change in muscular strength or muscle mass on mortality. There are some studies looking at the baseline muscular strength on mortality.
Yes.
And then they found if they have a higher, muscular strength level, then they have a lower risk of death. But I don't think there's proper study look at the change in muscle mass or strength and mortality yet.
Okay. I remember reading a study many years ago that indicated that individuals who did 30 minutes of cardiovascular exercise in a given day, that their risk of dying from a heart attack that day was 50% lower than individuals who did not do cardiovascular exercise. And there's so many studies out there, when you look at them all together, that simply say the message is very simple. Those people who are constantly improving their fitness and their strength, because I've had scientists on the show that have done studies, one of them from the California VA Medical Center. The strongest men live the longest. They did leg strength at the beginning. It was a 16-year study. Mm-hmm. And the mortality was directly related to the men who were the strongest were still alive at the end of the study, and the men who were the weakest and continue to stay that way, they died sooner. So, as you point out, there's definitely a linkage between fitness and strength and longevity.
Right.
So when you did your study, what were the actual endpoints that you were looking for when you set up the study?
There are two outcomes. First is all-cause mortality, and second is cardiovascular disease mortality.
Were they different?
It was very similar, but fitness change was a little bit more strongly associated with cardiovascular disease mortality. And I think people can imagine that cardiorespiratory fitness is related to, cardiac function or lung or muscle function. So I think it's reasonable to see those results in our study.
Now, there is evidence out there, some of it anecdotal, but some of it through some research, that there is a point of diminishing returns for cardiovascular training and its effects on cardiovascular health. For instance, those individuals who are, let's say, marathon runners, they actually tend to depreciate the quality of cardiac function over time And one would, that's counterintuitive. You would think that if someone can run a mile, the improvement in cardiac function would be one. And if someone can run 10 miles, the improvement in cardiac function would be 10. But it's not like that, is it?
I think based on, you know, the current physical activity guidelines, the national guidelines, I think, you know, people say there's a linear association between the, you know, the amount of physical activity and, you know, health outcomes. But they're not really, and there are not many studies supporting that. So I think we need more studies on, you know, on the association between amount of, in, you know, exercise or intensity of exercise or physical activity with various health outcomes. Is it linear or, you know, as you said, it's not linear and maybe not, you know, beneficial once people do, you know, so much exercise or, you know, opposite way. So it's, I think we still need more studies.
More research in that area there. Well, you, what, did, was there any self-reporting done by the participants as to what their daily activity or physical fitness regimens were?
We have questions, like what type of activity they did, and then, you know, each time how many minutes, you know, they do or how long. But it's not very clear, like, you know, it's not a physical activity diary. It's just a questionnaire. So still, I think it's very hard to know, you know, what they are doing exactly, you know.
Well, is it safe to assume that the individuals whose physical fitness ability increased over the course of the research period were somehow engaged in daily physical fitness and exercise?
Yeah, that's for sure. We look at the association, which factor is, you know, associated with fitness, and I think, as I told you earlier, smoking, chronic disease, well, other factors are associated with fitness, but we found the strongest association between fitness change and physical activity change. So, for example, you know, among men who increased their physical activity, I think 80% of them maintained or increased their fitness level. So it is quite sure that, you know, if you do more exercise, you can increase your fitness. And exercise and physical activity is the most important factor to increase their fitness level.
Now, the individuals reported to you once at the beginning of the study and then 6 years later, correct?
Right, that's right.
Okay, but they did not maintain any kind of communication or diary over that six-year period.
No, that's a limitation. We don't have, you know, good appropriate diet information. But in a subsample, you know, they reported the amount of food they eat. We don't know, you know, is it like fat or protein or carbohydrate?
Right.
We controlled for that. You know, the change of the amount of food they eat in the analysis model, but the finding wasn't changed even after controlling for diet information. But I'm pretty sure, you know, diet is also has some, you know, effect.
Well, what I was really wondering was if there was no diary being kept, I have to believe over the course of 6 years that out of 14,000 plus participants, some of them must have died during the study, correct?
Yes, that's quite possible, but we don't know, you know, what method they used. Like, did they just reduce food? So that's another, you know, the part we are wondering. You know, what was the cause of their weight change and fitness change?
Do you know off the top of your head if there were individuals in the study group who had relatively high BMIs, above 25, let's say, but yet they were very physically fit, had very, very low risk markers for death, but also had very low body fat, even though their BMI was high?
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure there are some, you know, I don't know what percentage exactly, but some of them, you know, would be like that. Even though they have higher BMI, you know, they may have a lower percent body fat and higher fitness level. And then I think, you know, they may have a higher, you know, chance of living longer than the others, like,
right,
you know, same BMI, but low cardiovascular fitness or higher fat.
Okay.
We didn't look at that. You know.
Are you going to try to extrapolate more data from this study? Is this just the first run through with it? Because it seems like you have quite a few subjects here, and you have enough information that more can be done with this data. Are you going to do more with it, or is this the end of this particular study?
The name of this cohort is Aerobic Center Longitudinal Study, and I think there are about 300, you know, study papers from this cohort. And I'm pretty sure, you know, some of the earlier studies look at that BMI stratified by percent body fat or physical activity or fitness, and we reported many, you know, studies. But the previous studies look at the baseline level of body mass index or weight and the fitness level with many different health outcomes. And there are not many studies, earlier studies, looking at the change in fitness and body weight.
Okay.
I think that's the unique part in this paper.
This particular paper. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Let's do this. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to go back to some of the confounding factors that you looked at, and I have some questions about that. We're talking with Dr. D.C. Lee about his recent paper that indicates that physical fitness is a greater indicator of death risk, or rather, the lack of death risk than body weight in and of itself. Very, very important message here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro Series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromas
aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. D.C. Lee about the linkage between fitness and longevity. Great information. You know, just keep, you've got to keep ringing that bell and reminding people that the way to stay healthy, the way to stave off chronic disease is to stay fit and stay strong.
Right.
That's the bottom line. Now, when you were accounting for these confounding factors in the cohort, did you look at any of them that were on medications at all, that you knew what medications they were taking?
In the database, we don't actually have any medication information, but we have a self-report, you know, the health condition,
right,
such as hypertension or diabetes.
Right.
So we controlled for that one, but we don't have any good medication information in the database.
Was there any evidence of those individuals who started this research study with less fitness but increased their fitness over the course of the study, who at the beginning of the study had the markers for had present diabetes or high blood pressure, that as their fitness level went up, these associated diseases went away?
It's very hard to stop taking medication once they, you know, have a hypertension or diabetes. And also because we don't have medication information in the database.
Yeah, really don't know.
We couldn't see it. Yeah. But I guess, you know, even though we have the information, I think it's not quite possible. Like many of them, you know, would take medication continuously even though they increase their fitness.
Right, right.
Maybe they change, you know, the type of medication from a stronger one to the, you know, less strong one, or the amount of medication it's possible. But I think, you know, many of them would, you know, keep taking their medication.
Now, obviously, this is all done with men. Is it fair to say that these results would also be similar for women?
We didn't look at the women because we have very little number of women, because they have to have an institute medical examinations in this study. But in our earlier studies, looking at the baseline level of fitness and, you know, body mass index, and looking at the mortality outcome.
Right.
I think the association between fitness and mortality were very similar between men and women. So based on that, I think, you know, it might be very similar in women as well. But we, you know, we need more, I think, studies in women.
Now, you are in the exercise physiology department, correct?
Exercise science.
Science, I'm sorry. Science,
right,
department.
And there's some people who are doing exercise physiology and other, you know, the exercise related studies.
Do you exercise personally?
Yes, I do. I do quite a lot, I think.
What do you do, out of curiosity?
Road biking at least twice, I guess, a week.
Okay.
About like 20 or 30 miles each time. And
wow.
Rock climbing, I think, twice a week, but like 30 minutes.
Do you do any resistance training?
I do once or twice in NIST.
Wow.
And that was kind of my my area, previous area. I was quite into, you know, resistance exercise or bodybuilding.
Really?
A couple of years ago, but not anymore because, you know, I did some surgery because of other sports like tennis. And so I'm a little sad, you know, that I cannot do resistance exercise as much as I want.
What did you have shoulder surgery?
No, elbow.
Oh,
elbow,
wow.
And some other parts.
Right.
From other sports.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha. Yeah, so you, mm-hmm. obviously the elbow is important whether you're pulling or pushing.
Right,
so
that's right.
It gets in the way. Yeah, okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Right,
so
but I'm still doing resistance exercise.
Yeah, good. That's good to see because, you know, there's a lot of people out there doing research in this area. And I always ask them, so now do you exercise? No, you know, I'm too busy. And I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, didn't you read your own research? So I'm glad to see that you actually are walking the walk as well.
Yeah, many researchers, doesn't matter, you know, which area, I think they don't have time to exercise, even though they know, you know, from their study, exercise or fitness is very important. But, you know, I think in the real world, it's very hard to find out.
You know what? I have to disagree when people say that. They say that all the time. And I'm someone who, you know, almost a decade ago was very, very sick. And today I'm very, very healthy. And it's all because of exercise and nutrition that I've changed my life. There's no doubt
Good.
About it. And whenever people say, oh, I can't find the time. And when you look at the day, what they do in a day, and you look at all these other things they can find time for that are meaningless. And
right,
then, and,
right,
then, and you know,
right.
it's all about priorities, Dr. Lee. It's all about priorities. And
I tell
people, if you cannot find the time to exercise today, interestingly enough, you will find a lot of time in 10, 20, 30 years for sitting in waiting rooms at doctor's offices instead.
Yes,
so
that's correct.
It's your choice where you want to find the time today or tomorrow. And for me, I'd rather get to the gym every day.
Right, so, right. Yeah, that's really good message. Yeah, I think I've never thought of that.
Yeah, oh,
but
yeah.
That's really true. You know, sitting in the doctor's office, the total time might be longer than, you know.
Most people who have chronic disorders and disease today have to visit a doctor's office at least once or twice a month.
Right.
And quite often with some of these drugs like Coumadin and warfarin, they have to go even more frequently to have their blood tests done. And then most people who have a chronic disorder develop multiple chronic disorders over time. And so they're seeing several different specialists. And when you add it all up, they may be spending 6-8 hours a month sitting
right.
in a doctor's office.
That is really true. Yeah.
Yeah, sitting in a doctor's office. And you know what? I'd much rather get into the gym for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour a day. At least I enjoy that than sitting in a doctor's office waiting for him to say, hey, you're not any better. So
that's really true.
What is the message that you hope people who read this study take away from it?
I think, you know, to date, extensive attention has given to weight loss, and many people worry about, you know, weight gain. But at least in terms of mortality risk, I think, you know, they need to focus more on their, you know, fitness improvement or maintenance. That's, I think, the one, you know, one message from this study.
Right. So and so the reality is that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but increasing your fitness and strength quotient can actually mitigate some of the negative effects of being a little overweight.
That's right. We look at the mortality in this study. Then we look at the other chronic diseases, and I think we found similar results. Even though some study, you know, show that fitness cannot eliminate the negative effect of obesity, but as you said, you know, at least, you know, it ameliorate, you know, some of the negative effect of weight gain or obesity. So I think you are right.
I mean, one need only look at competitive power lifters. And I think you and I talked about this off the air yesterday. We have a lot of competitive power lifters in our audience. And one in particular that's going to be on my show tomorrow, Coach Wade Johnson. At his heaviest, he was 340 pounds, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he is capable of squatting. You know what a squat is, right, Dr.
Yes.
Lee? He just, in a competition, squatted 1,040 pounds.
Wow.
He has a 700-pound bench press and a 700-pound deadlift. He trains every single day.
Right.
He does a lot of cardiovascular exercise. He does a lot of anaerobic exercise. He trains every single day. I'm sure that he has the traditional visceral fat that we know is not healthy for most people. We know he has abdominal fat. He's a big guy. But you know what? He doesn't have insulin resistance. He doesn't have cardiac issues. He doesn't have dyslipidemia. And this is true of a lot of powerlifters. A lot of powerlifters and Olympic athletes, you look at them. I mean, it's only when they stop exercising, but they continue to stay overweight and eat the way they did when they were athletes that they get sick.
Yes, that's very true. But, you know, in this type of study, we call it population study. I think you're totally right. You know, for the athletes, like a football player or, you know, power lifters, even though their BMI is really high, maybe over 30, you know, obesity level, but their, you know, the amount of fat is very low. But the thing is, in the real world, the percentage of those men are very small. I don't know how many, you know, people in the U.S. are athletes like that, power lifter or, you know, football players. So in the population study, I totally agree with you. You know, some people, even though they look very big and, you know, huge, but they have very small amount of fat. So in those people, doesn't need to worry about, you know, their body weight or body mass index. But in general, I think people still, you know, worry a lot about their weight and, you know, weight gain or loss. And I think it makes sense. And one of the limitations in this study is 90% of, you know, the participants were normal weight, were overweight in this study. So we still don't know. We're not quite sure yet. Maybe weight change, for example, weight gain might be, you know, related with higher risk of death in the obese population.
Right. Right.
And maybe in other, you know, health outcomes, I think the joint association between fitness and body weight might be a little different in other chronic disease health outcomes.
Yeah.
So still, I think, you know, there's many question marks left.
Yes.
To be answered.
Yes. Well, this audience that listens to this show, we are building superhumans with this radio show. The things that we talk about on this show, nutritional, physical activity, and so on. We are actually building superhumans. The majority of the people that listen to the show are devotees of heavy resistance training, intense cardiovascular training, but not long distances, lots of interval training. We're big proponents of interval training, sprinting, and so on, because that's what the human body is actually best equipped to do. And so I would venture to say that this is a unique group of people here that you're reaching today.
That's right.
But your message is a good one, and it just reinforces what we have been saying all along here on the show. I want to thank you for making time to come on the show today, Dr. Lee.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure having you, and keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. I've got some things I want to talk about. We'll be right back.
There's no earthly way of knowing.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the
Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, I got a couple emails that I need to address today. I promised to address them this week because we didn't have a casual Friday last week, so I'm going to get to them right now. First one came from a gentleman overseas who listened to an episode, I guess, of Casual Friday when I said some derogatory things about methadone and methadone clinics in general, they are being used to get people off of heroin. And I think I probably said something to the effect of, you know, getting somebody off of heroin and getting them on methadone is not a good thing. And he pointed out to me that he had, as a heroin addict, you know, used methadone to get off of heroin and now have a normal life. And, so I am obviously wrong about that in this instance and maybe many other instances. I know personally, I know a fellow who got off of heroin and then was on methadone for many, many, many years until he finally weaned himself off of it. And it was very difficult for him to do. But I want to retract the statement that I made that, you know, methadone is no better than or no different than heroin, because obviously It has helped those who truly want to have a normal functioning life to have a normal functioning life. Okay, that one thing I want to get out of the way. The other thing is that someone on my Facebook page asked me what's wrong with Abilify, because I've many times used Abilify as an example of a very dangerous pharmaceutical drug, and it is very dangerous. First of all, anytime you use an antidepressant, it's dangerous. Anytime you use a drug that's specifically designed to alter the way your brain chemistry functions, this is a very, very dangerous proposition. This is more dangerous than taking drugs that are designed to change insulin sensitivity or hormone levels or lipid levels, because the brain is so intricate. It's so, so intricate. And once you start to screw with brain chemistry levels, unwinding that process becomes very, very difficult. That's why most people who are on antidepressants never, ever get off of them. And obviously, that's a great thing for the pharmaceutical industry. Most antidepressants take weeks to start working because the brain is so protective of the landscape of hormones that it takes a few weeks before the brain gets the message, hey, you don't need to do this anymore. You don't need to make that anymore. We're supplying it to you. Because the brain likes to protect and control itself. So I talked negatively about Abilify. Abilify is a very, very dangerous drug. It can actually cause Parkinsonism in individuals who don't have Parkinson's disease, which is the same symptoms as Parkinson's disease. We don't know yet because no one has ever sacrificed a person who's developed Parkinsonism from Abilify and split their skull open and taken slices of their brain to see if the Abilify actually damages the substantia nigra. But we do know that one of the side effects of Abilify is motor coordination issues, and it is irreversible in those people who this happens to Abilify and using Abilify. And keep in mind what I said earlier in the show with Dr. Scarron, you know, the greater good. Pharmaceutical companies will say, well, it helps a lot of people, so there's a few people that, you know, fall through the cracks. But if you're one of those people who falls through the cracks, it's really, 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 you're not willing to go, oh, I guess my life is shot, but I'm worth sacrificing for the greater good. I'm a proponent of lowest common denominator thinking as opposed to the greater good thinking. But anyway, Abilify has also been linked to excessively high blood sugar levels, leading to coma and death. Again, not everybody gets it, but there's a handful of people that this happens to. And if you're one of those people, it sucks for you, not for the other people. And the truth of the matter is I'm totally opposed to all antidepressants. There is no reason for anyone to be taking antidepressants when there are so many other things you can do instead. Exercise, fish oil, omega-3s. I mean, just GABA. There are so many other things you can do that are natural and will not hurt your brain the way antidepressant drugs do. And now they're trying to get people to take antidepressants for pain. Now advertising, you know, if you have back pain, you should take antidepressants. I mean, it's just disgusting. It's a disgusting thing that's being done. And those who out there are not strong enough, strong-willed enough, or smart enough to challenge their physicians when they prescribe an antidepressant for something like, you know, I lost my job, I'm really sad. I'll never forget this. When I first started going through my divorce, a doctor who was advertising on my show, and I was sharing with him, you know, how upset I was by the way the court system was treating me and blah, 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 you know, woe is me, woe is me. And he said, you know, Carl, don't be afraid to take an antidepressant. You know, you can take an antidepressant. And I said, no, I don't need that. But I mean, I had every right to be sad and upset at that point in my life, as anybody would if they were going through a tough situation. You should be sad if you lose a spouse. You should be sad and depressed if you lost your job. You should be sad and depressed if someone broke into your car and stole, you know, your checkbook and buried your bank account for you. You should be sad and depressed. You should be sad and depressed if you're in a long-term marriage and it's miserable. You should be sad and depressed if you have an illness and you can't get over your illness. You're trying to figure out how to cure yourself and you can't. And you're like, you feel beaten down. You should be sad and depressed. You should be happy when you watch a funny movie. You should laugh when someone tells you a joke. These are all normal emotions. Why did the medical orthodoxy decide that sadness and depression doesn't need to be experienced by people? This is ludicrous. I want to bang my own head when I think about the people who get sucked into taking antidepressants when there are other things you can do. And granted, there may be a small, negligible percentage of people out there who they really are clinically depressed. There's something wrong with their brain chemistry, but I still believe that there's other ways to rectify that than going to an antidepressant. I mean, hell, there's studies out there that show that daily exercise was as effective at mitigating severe and chronic depression in individuals more so than an antidepressant. I forget which one they used back then. I don't know if it was Wellbutrin or something like that. But daily exercise was more effective than a drug. So, and plus it'll make you live longer, as we just know now from the interview we did with Dr. D.C. Lee. So, you know, it's just, Abilify is a dangerous drug. The effects of the drug are not good on your brain. And the unwanted effects of the drug, like chronically high blood sugar levels and even dangerously high blood sugar levels, the potential to actually damage areas of the brain over time. And not to mention that people, interestingly enough, people go to a doctor and they'll prescribe an antidepressant. Well, the antidepressant after 3 or 4 weeks starts to present its own symptoms. So you went to the doctor because you were depressed, you lost your job, and you're in a funk, and someone said, oh, go get an antidepressant. So you go to the doctor, you say, I'm depressed, I lost my job. He prescribes an antidepressant. She prescribes an antidepressant. You get on the antidepressant. 3 or 4 weeks later, you notice you can't sleep anymore, you're anxious, you have some essential tremor. You go back to the doctor, so they switch you to another antidepressant. Now, you no longer are trying to rid yourself of the depression. Now you're trying to rid yourself of the symptoms from this the antidepressant, which only works for 30% of the people. That's why they have to keep switching you from one to another. And then when they run out of the gamut that they can switch it to and they find out they're not working, but they're presenting their own set of symptoms, then they add secondary antidepressants. That's usually where Abilify comes in. A lot of times they'll give you Abilify after you've been on an antidepressant for a while, but you still haven't reached your utopia or euphoria that you think you're going to get when an antidepressant works. So they said, well, here, take this in conjunction with it. So all of a sudden, the reason you went to the doctor is gone. But the reason you keep going is because the antidepressants now don't make you feel good. And they're trying to find a way to make the antidepressant make you feel good. I mean, it's idiocy. It's idiocy. But Abilify is a dangerous drug, as are 90% of the pharmaceutical drugs out there. And I would never take an antidepressant. And I've been depressed. I was depressed for almost a year. But you know what? I was depressed because something was really crappy in my life. And that's the appropriate feeling to have at that point in your life. So, but yeah, I would never take Abilify. And if you are taking Abilify, I would talk to your doctor about titrating it and getting you off of it somehow. That's what I would recommend. Okay, I want to thank my guest today, Dr. D.C. Lee, his research on exercise and longevity, good stuff there. And, of course, Dr. Jared Scarron coming on and talking about autism. I hope that someone who has an autistic child out there who listens to the show finds some information that helps. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow we have an installment of the roundtable discussion on the acquisition of strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. We'll see you tomorrow.